Welcome, everybody, to the Dad Survival Guide podcast. I'm Joe Sanfilippo.
I'm Raymond Pratt.
I am married with three daughters, raised divorced with three boys. Over the span of our 20-plus years of friendship, we have seen and heard a great deal of rampaging BS on parenting, and we have heard some really, really brilliant advice, often from sources you would never expect.
Yeah. We created the show with the hopes of guiding you through this wonderful mess we call fatherhood. We'll be covering a wide variety of topics on our show directly affecting you as fathers. But remembering, we are just two regular dads who are in no way qualified to diagnose, treat, or cure any disturbing behaviors your children may be experiencing at this present time.
Completely regular dads, unqualified in every way. Yeah. All right, so today we're going to be talking about a few ideas for passing the time as we sit here quarantined with our families. Mm-hmm. The importance of a schedule. Also, if your kids are exhibiting any new weird-ass quarantine behaviors, because mine sure as shit are.
That's real.
Absolutely. And we're also going to talk about the importance of sanitation. And
yes, also with the sanitation, for those of you that still have to go to work, we have to kind of cover that topic too. There, I know there's a lot of people staying at home, but we're also going to cover your schedule and what you can do to limit your exposure while you're working.
All right. So let's jump right into it. Is this week three? Is this week three?
Wow, week three.
Oh, man. So new ideas. So it's, okay, week three, that's a good place to be like, all right, here's the shit that's working. Here's the shit that's not working.
Yeah.
And here's some new shit. So not working shit, yes, working shit, and new shit. This is an important conversation to have. So Raymond,
yes,
you have three boys. Your world is very different than mine. What is working for the three boys?
You know what? What is working, and some of it is actually surprising to me. We rediscovered the trampoline in the backyard, so it gets them out of the house. And the weather is not cooperating. Some days it does, some days it doesn't. And even when it isn't cooperating, they still get out there and they jump around it, and it gets a lot of energy out. I know trampolines can be expensive, and if you have multiple kids, you might need to get a bigger one. But it's amazing, dude. You just send them out there, and they're out there for like good 30, 40 minutes, and they come in, and they're kind of sweaty in there. And they're a little, they get it out. I also rediscovered Mario Kart. That is a great game to play. You can play multiple players. You can get your kids in there. You can play it. I know video games are kind of like touchy with some parents. So if that doesn't work for you, there is YouTube. We've discovered that a couple of my sons love drawing. There's this thing called Cartooning Club on YouTube. And it's basically a dad who sits down with his son and they draw like pictures. They can draw like the fungal pop, like superheroes. They draw anything together, and the dad does his, and he's an amazing artist, and his son does it alongside him, and they compare him at the end, and the kids looks a little like a kid, but the dad looks great. It's bonding time. It's time to spend with your kids. So that is one thing that we've discovered. We're doing 9-minute exercise videos on YouTube. I know we talked about that last time. So there's a bunch of interactive stuff, and they're also now homeschooling too, so that's taking up a little of their time too, Joe. So
yeah. Well, let me ask you about that, because in our house, that homeschooling shit is, I mean, it is not that rigorous. Like,
no.
Like, hey, is your schoolwork all done? Yeah, I did it. When you started asking me the question, I started. And then by the time you finished, I was also done with my homework. Like, it's like just burning through this stuff. So this is there's no way. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, if these kids have like a gaping hole in this year in their education.
But I discovered that it's not, I mean, I did know this when we went into it, that it's not new curriculum. It's kind of more of a review of the year that they've learned already.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of stuff there. I guess it's just to keep their little brains moving and continuing to like refresh and learn and go over stuff that they already learned to keep them sharp, I guess, until next year. But we've got books. They read reluctantly. They read 30 minutes a day. They do some homework. They do some spelling. They do some math. And then it's kind of back to their life. But I also think it's also more about schedule, because kids need that schedule to keep them regulated and to not start showing those whack behaviors that I've started to notice too.
Well, I'll tell you what, like the stuff that's working for the girls, a little bit different. There's the stuff, what I've noticed is, and I think this is going to be like parent to parent. I don't think this is more gender. I think this is just the kind of people we are. I hated listening to lectures when I was in college, when I was in high school. I'm not really, I mean, I'll do TED Talks sometimes because they're pretty concise, but I prefer, you know, an interactive experience. And so my kids are just the same exact way. Like I can't get them to do like, hey, this is a non-interactive thing that's designed for kids your age, and wouldn't that be great? They're like, no, shoot me in the face. But if it's interactive, if the person giving the lecture or it's like if it's yoga or if it's dance or if it's like the nature company is the name of the one that my littlest one is doing, and she's loving it, by the way. They bring a little animal out and they talk about the animal, they ask the kids questions, and by the way, if you're running anything like this where you're if you're interacting with kids online, you need to acknowledge them all by name. That's the most key thing, because as soon as they hear their name, they light up. Oh, and yeah. And then they dial, they really dial in. So it's been an interesting education for me, like to see, like, cause it, when this all started, you know, a bunch of people went and said, okay, I'm going to give away my stuff online for free. Everybody can watch my class for nothing. And you're not going to be really in my class, but you can watch whatever. And I was like, my God, that's really going to mess with a lot of paradigms. And then I'm watching my kids' response to that. And then they want nothing to do with it. So I'm like, okay, well, paradigms are safe, but, and you know, and it's an interesting. So if your kids aren't engaging in whatever classes you're showing them online, find one that they will be interacting with whoever's hosting it. And if that means you pay for it, fuck it, pay for it.
What's the one that where they bring out the animal? What's that one called again?
That one's it's the Nature Company.
Okay, that sounds amazing to me because I mean my kids 11 and 9 and 7, I think they would totally be into that if they could sit there and watch someone bring out an animal and they go over it and then they talk about it. I mean, that's pretty fascinating to see it right on your computer instead of watching like a nature show that it's all taped to actually sit there and watch it. I think that's pretty cool.
It's neat. And then they discuss the animal and they have it. It's the coolest thing. And like I said, it was interesting. We had a little case study. Like I think 2 days ago, Violet was supposed to be on and I had we had something going on beforehand and we were a little bit late to it. And the guy didn't let us in. Yep. Cause you have to be let into the Zoom meetings and all that good stuff. And he didn't let us in right away. And so she was non-participant. She was just watching. And to watch her just watch, she was like, oh, F this, man. She wanted nothing to do with it. And she was so pissed. But when he finally, he finally got the message, oh, shoot, I forgot to let her in. And he let her in. Game changer. Oh, everything's great. We're fine. Very nice.
That's good.
So that's what's working for us, interactive things. And then hikes, lots and lots and lots of hikes,
yeah.
Way all the hikes.
That's a great thing too. I mean, if you drag them kicking and screaming, I think once you get them out there, they're kind of into it. Maybe about like, I don't know, I've taken my kids on hikes before where about mile two or three, they're amazingly tired for having such fresh legs. They get really tired. They get bored. It's not fun anymore. But if you drag them, I mean, the first couple of miles is great. It gets them out of the house. And you've been doing a lot of hikes. You've discovered all the canyons behind your house, huh?
Tons. But you know, my wife is super, she's super, super, what's the term I'm looking for? Germophobic. For a full-blown maniac with this stuff. So like, playgrounds? Yeah, no fucking way. That is not happening. Anything
public? Was enough for Aaron Canyon.
Yeah, there's no way. If the children were made of bleach, she still would not let them go to the playground. Not happening. So like hiking is about as good as we can get because she's made a decision mentally that hiking somehow or another.
That's very hands off. I mean, you're not touching anything. You're just walking.
You're just walking. That's it. So that's what we're allowed to do, which is good. Which brings us to scheduling because that's what you were bringing up earlier. And this the importance of the schedule. Tell us about the importance of the schedule, Raymond.
I still work, but I don't work as much, so I do have a lot of downtime. I was listening to these doctors and therapists, and what they had done is they had interviewed this astronaut who had spent a year in space isolated, and they said, when they talked to him, and they found that it's very similar to what we're going through right now, and he said that there's staples that we need to adhere to keep our sanity, and one of them is devising a schedule and sticking to it. Your sleep is important. You need to get the amount of sleep that you get because when you're isolated, you're not really outside interacting with socially and it can start to wear on you. So sleep is important. Exercise is so important no matter what it is. Like if you're hiking like you guys are doing or if you're doing in-home stuff, if you have some weights or you can do like push-ups, all kinds of stuff. You can do a subscription to Beachbody. I know some people really don't like that, but it's like literally $8.33 a month. So you really need to do things to keep yourself active inside your home or going in your backyard or even out in your front yard if you're not interacting with your neighbors, if you're that, if you're on that level of paranoia. But you really need to do a, he said that the importance of a schedule just keeps your sanity tight.
Oh, that totally.
Mean, yeah. So,
you know, I think the easiest way to look at it is you know, like military discipline. Like if you're on a boat, if you're on a naval ship, I mean, if you go back to however far back you want to go for the navies, you've got boats, ships that are in the middle of the ocean with a bunch of dudes just like, hey, this could all fall apart any minute, but they kept that, you keep that schedule and you keep that discipline tight, and it all stays, you keep control over the situation. And I think you need that in your house. It's totally important. And when you're out, one more thing, it's worth, schedule yourself some sunshine.
Yeah.
If you've got
the vitamin D.
Look, your body takes sunshine and converts into vitamin D. And if you don't have enough vitamin D, you will be a pissy, pissy guy. And that is of no value to your kids, because as soon as they pop off, you're gonna lose your shit. And guess what? We're in a quarantine, and so we have new quarantine wacky ass behavior that's gonna make you pop off. So are you guys getting any of that? Because my kids are getting, I don't know if they're getting weird, but like there's some new shit for sure.
They really, I mean, because they get out quite a bit. We don't keep them cooped up as much, only when the weather's really bad. They get out, ride their bikes. Jenny's really good about getting them out and doing things that don't involve being in large groups. Like there's so many trails out here, they take them for hikes, ride their bikes, trampoline in the backyard. We've got a pretty like isolated street that we live on. It's kind of a cul-de-sac, so there's not a lot of traffic, so they can go outside and play basketball. They throw the ball around. So they're kind of outside a lot. So it's not like they're really cooped up all day unless it's snowing or it's raining. So I haven't really seen any crazy behaviors. One thing that has really kind of become prevalent is the Nerf guns in the house, and that just doesn't work. So that behavior has become more elevated and it's getting more intense, I think, now the more of the time they spend in the house. So I had to shut that shit down real quick, because Nerf guns in the house, close proximity, someone's going to lose an eye. I just don't like that shit in the house.
Done. All right. Well, no Nerf.
No Nerf. Not in the house.
We have noticed that it's the girls are kind of like this is kind of like amplifying whatever shittiness is kind of going on. Like Lily's 12, and she's 12-year-olding like a maniac, and she turns 13 at the end of this month. And I mean, she's in that tween shit, and like that tween skulking. You remember that tween? Like I'm pissed off at everybody.
Yeah, everything's world ending.
Oh, fuck.
That's going to ruin my life. I mean, personally, I don't remember that, but Brady's starting to move into that too, as he's like, I'm heading to 12, where everything is just so high stakes.
Everything's the fucking end of the world and everything's worth a fight. And she's, I mean, Lily in particular, she's very smart. So like, she'll argue. I mean, that's the thing with this whole deal. Like we're having arguments, like legit, like where I'm like, I feel like I'm arguing with an adult. I'm like, what the heck? What makes, why are we having this discussion? No, shut it down. So so what we've noticed that they're kind of like the tightness of the scene right now, because no one is leaving. So we're all kind of like, we're losing rank. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like
that totally makes sense.
That track, like we're forgetting who's in charge. Like, wait a goddamn minute, I'm in charge of this boat.
But I have, who's got the conch?
Right? Like, I have the conch. I always have the conch. So that's kind of, and Violet at 4.
I think Violet has the conch at 4, and no one's really aware of it, but I'm fucking really aware that that girl runs that place. Kid,
she's a little thug. But she, right now, she's very funny, because it's like, she's very confident and she's very cocky, but she's very brittle. So like, if anything goes wrong, she's just started yelling. Because I think, because mom and I are there all the time, so there's always an adult right next to her being like, hey, did you F up? And so if anything gets screwed up, and she's old enough now to like really make messes and really break things, and you know, so she just starts screaming and like no words, just yelling, which is very confusing and a little scary. Like, she called 911 today and was on the phone with the 911 operator for, I'm going to guess, about a minute and a half before Aaron realized that she was on the phone with 911.
Holy shit. What was that conversation with the 911 operator like?
I'm like,
she's screaming.
I'm hearing,
murdering you. What's happening? Isolation.
Right. And I'm hearing Violet on the phone with the operator trying to trying to turn it off, but she can't figure out how to update. It was funny as hell. It's funny now, But and finally, and you know, she's like, Mom, something's wrong with your phone. Mom, I think you called someone. Mom, do I need to call someone? Mom, someone's calling. Aaron's like, what? Why? I didn't call anybody. No one called. What are you talking about? And then you can hear the voice kind of like a little teeny voice, ma'am. And Aaron's like, oh, God damn it. Give me the phone. That was pretty good shit. I enjoyed that. But it's then, of course, the screaming began. But it's interesting to see how this whole thing is kind of amplifying behaviors I would not have expected. I don't know what I would have expected, but it's been
different. How's Sophia doing?
Soph, I don't blame her. She bugged out. She and her boyfriend. She bugged out on Sunday. So her boyfriend's mom has a beach house in Ventura, and so she went, you know, I think we're just gonna go stay there for a couple of weeks. And I can't hold that against her. She wanted to go to the beach house.
If I was younger and I had the ability to bounce and leave my parents, I would be ghost too. I'd be out of there.
Dip out, go to the beach house, just you and your guy. That's pretty slick. So that's where they're at. Hopefully we'll get them back by Easter. But I'll be honest with you, the nightly raves that we've been throwing, they're kind of they tapered off. Soph was the impetus for that. Okay. She was the one making that happen.
She was the organizer, huh?
She was.
So with Sophia gone, now you just have the two of them, and Aaron, like you said, is a germaphobe. How is it going keeping your house sanitized? Because we know that children are dirty creatures.
Well, so what we've done, no shoes in the house anymore. Shoes are on the front porch.
Oh, good.
And we don't go anywhere because we're not allowed to. So we can go on our hikes, but we're not allowed to go in. I haven't been to a store in weeks. Haven't been anywhere. And so, and then we've got food deliveries now going on. So, it's bananas, Ray. So we just spray everything at the front porch, and it's so fucking nuts.
What is that like? What is that like?
It makes you feel like a loon, and everything tastes a little Lysol-y. And
is it like a fly curtain? You know those fly curtains when you walk into a building and it's blowing on you? Does Aaron just have like Lysol fly curtains spraying you down? You're clean.
It's a little much, man. It's a little much. And then we found out we've been cleaning the vegetables and fruit with soap and water because she read that we're supposed to do that. And then the next article I read was like, don't fucking do that.
Yeah, because the next thing is diarrhea with the soap.
So it's like, hey, all right, we gotta, I don't know who you listen to, but this article looks like it was
Dr. Jamoke and Van Nuys or something. What the fuck is happening?
Oh, so crazy. So we're doing all that, and we keep the house is just like, it's just us. But she's on a full blown mad kick. So like, the bathrooms, bedrooms, door handles, all that gets all sanitized. And, we're doing it. What are you guys doing?
It's really, you know, this is where the gender difference comes from. Luckily you have, girls. So they sit down when they go to the bathroom. I have three boys who have not understood in their lifespan to lift the fucking toilet seat and make sure you hit the water. The water, if it makes noise, it's great. If it's not making a noise, that's porcelain and you're pissing somewhere else. So we're having a battle here. We I'm trying to have them they're pretty good at it for being kids. I think my expectations are a little high because, you know, you want them to do everything perfectly. So the bathroom, we sanitize high traffic areas like the bathrooms, bedrooms, door handles, etc. They're diligent about washing their hands. They do a great job of doing that. We wash their bedding more often, changing out the pillows. Once again, they do leave their shoes in the garage. We have a garage you can come through there. So that's kind of like our quarantine zone. We're not making them take off their clothes or anything because we're not fucking batshit crazy yet. Plus, we're not going into like places where there's a lot of people. So I think that's excessive. And I don't want to have like PTSD with my kids in 10 years from being, you know, isolated and taking off their clothes in the garage and having them in like 10 years growing up to be germophobic freaks that people are staring at them all the time.
First time they get wasted in college, they're in somebody's garage and they get naked and they don't know why.
Exactly. And people are like, what the fuck are these Pratt kids, man? The bathroom
is real in your garage, like, man.
Yeah, just piss in the toilet, wash your hands when you're done, and make sure you wipe. That's all that is the one we struggle with because they're boys, you know, they want to get in, do their business, and then back out playing so fast. So, you know, a couple things are missed in between, but I think they're doing really good, I would say.
Well, good. At this point, I got to confess this because it just became easier. I just sit down to pee at my house. I'm not even going to try and lie.
I'm not even going to try and lie. It's more comfortable.
No, because you know what I mean? If I pick the seat up and then I forget to put it down, I'm going to get, like, if you got little girls, they're going to fall in. That's what their little asses fall right through. And that's it. Then your kid's covered in piss water. And there's fucking, do that
I'll
one.
Tell you this. Nothing will set me off more than sitting and what I think is someone's piss.
Oh,
I fucking go from a 0 to 100. And so I don't know. That might be too much information, but
maybe
I'm sure all the dads out there have done it and have probably will continue to do it just through lack of sleep. When you wake up in the middle of the night, you go to the bathroom and you sit down and you're like, why is this wet? And it takes that second to register. And then you're really pissed off, but you just want to go back to bed. So. Yeah.
At least you know it's your kid's piss. That's good. I mean, there's something to that, right? it's my kid's piss. I mean, it's fucked up.
Yeah, I guess it's not like, that's true.
Right? It's not your Uncle Jim's piss. Somehow or another, Uncle Jim's piss.
Yeah, I have a germ problem.
Now, you and I live in a different world. We've talked about this before. You have to keep going to work. I am not going to work. I'm staying here at the house because I'm working in my basement. So, you're dealing with a whole bunch of new stuff that I'm not dealing with. You're dealing with how do you limit exposure when you're working? What is your strategy?
Almost every day at my work, we get so many emails with just so many updates, and then they're implementing so many more standards. Now it's masks. Last week it was space. This week it's masks. It's peroxide. So they just keep implementing more and more stuff. The big thing for us is because we have a smaller crew now at work is space. We try to keep our social distancing, washing our hands all the time. I think we're going to move to masks this week because that's kind of starting to become
I think that's the thing. Yeah.
Less gloves. I guess the glove thing is now created because what gloves do is they give you a barrier, but it also creates false security of you wear the gloves longer because you think you're being cleaner, but it gives you more of an opportunity to transmit. You can cross contaminate with gloves. So when you're not wearing gloves, you tend to wash your hands more often. So we've gone away from gloves, washing our hands more often, probably going to start wearing the masks. And it's more about space. We do meetings on Zoom. There's no more after work hangouts because you can't really go anywhere. So it's more about just limiting in-person contact and meetings and being in small spaces, confined spaces together. So it's different because, we're social animals. So being close and social is what we do. So now it's more about being conscientious and staying apart from each other and not, being close.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's a wild deal, man. My mom had a birthday this week and we went, it forces you to be inventive. That's kind of a neat thing. It forces you to be a little bit, it brings out something else in you. So I think this is a neat thing that I'm seeing, where everyone's coming up with new and interesting ways to kind of be social without being social. So, for my mom's birthday, my wife, she's like, all right, well, let's bake her a cake. And then, we'll decorate the cake and wrap everything up. And then we'll take it to their house because we can't see them because they're old. So we can't. So wrap up everything in plastic, put it on the doorstep. And then what we did was we backed the truck up and we put the kids in the bed of the truck and everybody had like a happy birthday thing. And, we put on the Beatles music, the da-na-na-na-na-na. And she came out and that was her birthday. And she almost cried.
Wait a second. They were in the back of the Dodge.
Yep.
You put the bed down and they sat there and they saw their grandmother and sang to her. And then that was it.
That was it. Wow. And then later on that night, we did like a Zoom party for her. And we played Pictionary, for a couple hours with family. With everybody, with the San Diego peeps and the LA and all that. But as far as like anybody seeing her, that was it. We went over there and backed the truck up and sang a song and then left. And it's crazy it's so bad.
Crazy, but necessary and smart. I mean, think about it. You could be completely fucking irresponsible. I'm not going to mention a state in the South on the ocean. And you could have just went over there and fucking had a party, and you could have put your dad at risk, who's in his 90s, your mom at risk. And it's, yeah. I mean, is it really worth it in the long run to just give yourself some distance and really not make any contact for a couple months, which I really think it's going to be. I think we're doing the 30-day, because if they were to come out and say 120 days, I think people would fucking lose their mind and we would have anarchy. True.
No, you have to keep slow walking it. Yeah. Like, it's like, what do you do when you, slow walking when you go?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're on that long margin. You keep looking at your feet. Don't look ahead. Can you? Like, you know?
It's only 3 more miles,
right?
Exactly 9. Yeah, right? I firmly believe we're not going to see the light of day until probably the end of July. But that's just me.
Well, I hope that you're wrong. I fear that you're right. I don't know, man. I mean, look, Italy said they're plateauing, and have you heard about this? They're talking about this the antibodies, that this is going to be like the 2-track system if they can figure this out. Where if they can figure out antibody testing, if you've been exposed to it, not necessarily that you had it, whether you had it, you can be exposed to it and have such a mild case you never even know you had it.
Yeah.
Right. So they're trying to figure out if they can test well enough that they'll be able to say, like, Ray, they'll be able to take a test for you, and you've got, okay, Ray, your body makes antibodies to this. You've got a gold badge. You can go and do whatever you want to do.
Wow.
And Joe, you know what, man? You haven't made antibodies yet. You still got to kick it at home until we've got a vaccine for you. So that seems to be kind of where this is headed, if they can figure out the science, which would be the way to open the world back up, wouldn't it? You know?
Yeah, that's amazing. I haven't heard that yet. I'm listening to shit every day and digesting all this information, as everyone else probably is. But that's promising.
Well, but I think that's one of those things where they're trying to sort it out, but I don't think they've got the science yet. I think it's one of those but it sounds like science fiction, doesn't it? Like, okay.
All this is so surreal to me. I can't even begin to tell you how much I sit around and think about this shit, but it is so surreal.
So crazy, man. Just the wildest time. I think we've gone over some good stuff. I think the last thing we wanted to talk about is what to do if somebody in your family does get infected. And Ray, you've done a little digging on this. What do you got, man?
Yeah, unfortunately, if someone in your house, like say your spouse or a family member gets infected, they're saying that, you know, you have to self-quarantine. You have to set them up and quarantine them in a room. I can't even say that word. Quarantine them in a room. You give them a mask if you have one, if you can find one. They're saying that any type of mask now will do. I mean, I've seen some pretty ridiculous masks, but even a bandana is a shield between you and them.
Our neighbor just dedicated
bathroom if you can
on the front porch.
Yeah, attend to their needs only as necessary, and you clean the hell out of your house. Soap and water is what you need. You can peroxide and bleach and all stuff is pretty excessive, but you should just continuously wash your hands and do the 20 seconds. And the best thing for them is ventilation. Open up a window in there, even if it's freezing cold, and you can kick your heater up, but they need air and they need ventilation. So that gives them a chance to, you know, get some fresh air in there and not be so stale and stagnant and breathe in that same air. So this is, I mean, it's the best thing for them. But you really need to quarantine and isolate them as hard as it is, as hard as it would be for your kids if you have children, to keep them away from mommy, daddy, a big brother or an uncle, whoever is living with you and is sick. Quarantine. You got to separate yourself for at least 14 days or same.
And now drop us the reality here, but because if you have somebody in your house that's got it, odds are you've got it too, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, really, you know, whatever you're doing to kind of isolate folks, you're really just buying time, because the best thing, if you've got kids in the house, you don't want to have you and your wife or you and your husband's illnesses overlap. I mean, you want to have them. You want to have that person be done before you get started, because that's going to impact how you take care of the kids. Well, I'll tell you what, I think we got some stuff out there. We'll check in again this coming week, and we'll hopefully have some new fun stuff for you guys. Let us know how you're doing. Hop on Instagram, give us a like there and drop us a note. And we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Take care. Stay safe.